Well, as I said, we're starting a new series this morning, or in our children's talks at least, thinking about the names of God. And to do that, we need to think a little bit first about names in general. So we're going to just think a little bit for a while about how many names we all have. It might surprise you when you think about the kind of names. So here's an easy one. Who has a first name? At this point, every hand should be in the air. Who has first name? Yeah, we all do, don't we? Mark and Sam or... Jura had her hand still up. And Ruth, and who has a surname? Yeah, again, we have, you know, Koenig here, and Gray, and Ventham, and Haitley over there, and Smith. You know, we all have surnames, don't we? So we have first names, we have surnames. Some people have middle names. I have one called Jonathan. I could embarrass people by asking what their middle name is. But I won't, I'll just embarrass you. Remember Ben-Hur, who was with us last week? This is Ben-Hur's boarding pass getting on the plane last week. Here it is, with all his names. Mr. Ben-Hur, Judah, Lisboa, Lefort, Ramos. Now that is a lot of middle names, isn't it? Yeah? You wouldn't want to have to learn to write your name as a kid with that many names. A lot of names. But most of us have names more than just these, more than just our first name, middle name, surname. We have other names which we'd call titles. So we have such titles like Mr. or Mrs., or Doctor or Professor, or Lord or Lady, or Sir, or Reverend, or Pastor, or Elder. We're also son or a daughter. So I sometimes call my children, son, come here. And sometimes they come. Do you, if you have brothers or sisters, you may call them sister or bro. I call my sister little sis. That's how we say, hi, little sis. She says, hi, big bro. That's how it goes. So we have titles. Then there are kind of the fun names. They are the special names that the people who love you call you, you know, sweetie. Or pumpkin. Or maybe Buster. You know, or my little sugar blossom. These are just called nicknames, aren't they? All of you are thinking, which one does Ross call Mark? And I'm not going to tell you. Maybe your parents have a nickname for you, like Titch or Susie Bear or Tiny. I mean, we used to call my brother Goz, because I couldn't say his name, Graham. Some nicknames are just a shorter way of saying your name, like using Will for William, or other nicknames show something about you. Like calling someone with red hair red, or calling someone Speedy because he runs literally fast. Other nicknames describe you or remind you of something that happens to you or says something about the kind of person you are. So if you won a race, someone might call you Champ because you're the champion. Or if you're smart, you might be called The Brain. Or I mean, some of my friends just called me Big V. Sadly, we have nicknames that are not very nice. When I was growing up, my parents used to call me Waterworks because I cried a lot. Or should I say, they made me cry a lot. Seemed to be a Sunday lunch occupation. So, do you have a nickname? Hands up if you have a nickname. Lots of people have nicknames. It's good. So we have nicknames. Now, if you were to count up all the names you have, so I have Mark, Dad, Son, Brother, Husband, Mister, Elder, Big V, Sweetie. Waterworks. Sometimes my children call me Stinky. But so I have like 11 nicknames or names or titles that just describe me and who I am and what I'm about. They're names or titles that are about me. So I have 11 I counted up. And dear old Ben-Hur has about 6 before we even get started on his titles. And names mean something, don't they? Sometimes there's a special reason that we have first or middle names that we have. Maybe you're named after someone who is loved by your parents, you know, a grandfather, an aunt, or an uncle. Sometimes parents choose names with meanings because they want their children to grow up to be like the meanings of those names. So, for example, my children, Nathan, his name means God's gift. Or Barney's means encourager. And names in the Bible mean something. Abraham, His name means Father of many nations. Peter the Apostle, his name means Rock. Names are important. Names are special to us. They reveal something about who we are. They say something about us. Now here's a very hard question. How many names do you think God has? Now remember we worked out that I have many names. Mark, son, brother, father, dad, Mr. Special. So we have lots of names. They say something about us. They describe us in some way. How many names do you think God has? Hands up if you think he has 20 names. Hands up if you think he has 50 names. How about 100 names? Is it something kind of 100? What about 150 names? Do you know the one true God of the Bible has more than 200 names? And if you were to count all the names and the titles and the nicknames of God in the Bible, there are more than, anyone want to take a guess? 700. Indeed. 700 names. That's just astonishing. 700 names of who God is. All that just describe him and his character and who he is. Remember, in the Bible, names tell us something about the person. And God is so big, he's so great, he's so wonderful that it takes more than 700 names to tell us what he's like. And all his names have meanings, wonderful meanings that show how big and great and wonderful God is. And in truth, even 700 do not fully describe God. And what we're going to do over the next few weeks is learn all 700 names. Okay, maybe just a few. We're just going to learn some of the original, the key ones, the ones that are most familiar. So we're going to learn like Elohim, which means God is the strong creator. Or his name El Shaddai, God Almighty. Or Elkanah, jealous God. Father and King, Savior, Helper. We're going to be thinking about these names in our children's times and what it tells us about who God is. And this morning we're going to look firstly at the most special name of God. Yahweh. In the Hebrew, or Jehovah as it was translated and written in the Latin for many years, but Yahweh is probably the best way of saying it. And in English, Yahweh is I am who I am. That's how it gets translated. So in the Hebrew it's Yahweh, in the English it means I am who I am. And we first learn of this special name in Exodus chapter 3. So the Israelites are slaves in Egypt. They cry out to God for help. God hears their cry. He chooses Moses to be their leader and the one who would free them. Now, do you remember how God called Moses? Where did God speak from? Anyone? Probably a child. Yeah, from the burning bush. From bush that was alight. Now, what was strange about that burning bush? It didn't turn into ashes, did it? It just kept burning. It never burned up. Because what normally happens is that, well, wood gets burnt up, doesn't it? Like if I did to this match. And this is not going to work. Here it is. See how it's going white? Now it's going to black. Burns up. That's what should have happened to the bush, shouldn't it? But it didn't. The bush remained the same. It didn't become like the burnt up match. It just was. And God used that burning, never burned out bush to show Moses something about himself. I'm going to learn two big words this morning, and that's this, that God is self-existent and God is eternal. God is self-existent and God is eternal. See, God spoke to Moses from the burning bush. And he said, look, he knew about the Israelites being slaves in Egypt, and God said he would set them free. And God told Moses to bring his people out of Egypt. But Moses had a problem. He didn't know God's name. This is what he said to God. You might want to follow it along on the screen. Moses said to God, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. And they asked, what is his name? Then what shall I tell them? And God says to Moses, Yahweh. Or in English, I am who I am. This is what you're to say to the Israelites. Yahweh, I am, has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, say to the Israelites, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. And this is my name forever. The name by which I am to be remembered from generation to generation. The Lord, Yahweh, says to Moses, I am, and this is my name forever. Now that's a funny name if we're honest, isn't it? I am who I am. But what does it mean? It means that God is real. It means that God is not made up. It means that God is alive and lives forever. And here's where one of our big words from a moment ago comes in. God is self-existent. Self-existent. See, existent means real or living now. We exist right now. We're existing, living. I'm alive. I'm existing. But God doesn't just exist. He is self-existent. That means he lives without the help of anything else, all by himself. He doesn't need anything. He doesn't need anything. I'm going to put that up here because I'm going to get you to help me. Because every time I say he does not need, you're going to finish it off for me. Does that make sense? We'll have a little practice. Oh, don't you fall on me. Here we go. A little bit wonky, I know, for all those who struggle with that kind of thing. Resist the urge. Okay, so when I say he does not need,
anything.
He does not need,
anything.
There we go. He does not need,
anything.
See, he doesn't need air to breathe, doesn't need sleep to make him strong, he doesn't need food to build him up, he doesn't need a mum or a dad or doctors or a policeman, he doesn't need any help, he doesn't need
anything.
To exist. He is self-existent. Now, you see, we need lots of things to exist, don't we? We need air to breathe. I need it. We need food. Yummy, yummy, yum. We need sleep. Oh, sweet sleep. We need parents to care for us and love us. And without those things, what would happen? It's a really easy quote. You would die. You would not exist. But God does not need... But God does not need... to exist. He is self-existent. That is what his special name declares. I am who I am. He is Yahweh. He does not need
anything.
But here's the thing. The one who does not need
anything.
Yahweh gives us everything. Gives us everything. Now you've got two words to remember. A little bit straighter. So, here we go. The one who does not need
anything.
Gives us
everything.
Brilliant. Have a look at Acts 17. We're going to read it together. The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth. And he does not live in temples built by hands. And he is not served by human hands as if he needed because he gives all men, women, children, life and breath, and everything else. The God who does not need
anything.
Gives us
everything.
Did you catch that? That Yahweh, I am who I am, gives us
everything.
He gives us air and food and water and sleep and parents. Everything we have comes from God. The one who does not need gives us
everything.
To exist. And here's the thing, including giving himself to save us. So remember Exodus 3, the people of Israel are in trouble, they need saving. Here's the thing, who better to save you? Who better to save you than Yahweh, I am who I am, the one who does not need
anything.
The one who is self-existent. Because no one can harm him. No power can defeat him. No one can kill him. You can't take away his food or his air or his sleep because he does not need them. He is the one who is in charge of everything and gives everything. He does not need
anything.
He's the one who gives us
everything,
including life. Do you see? So who better to save you? Which is why when Moses asks, who shall I say sent me? God says, look, my name is Yahweh. I'm the one who does not need but gives. And Yahweh says, I will save you. He gives himself. And will the Egyptians be able to stop God? Will they be able to harm God? Will they be able to defeat God? So who better for the Israelites to trust than Yahweh, the one who does not need, but gives? And just as he saved them, God saves us. He gives us Jesus. And how does Jesus speak of himself? Well, he says at one point, John 8, as he's talking to the Jewish leaders, he says, I am. I am. He uses God's special name. And Jesus says, you know what? That's me. I am God. I'm Yahweh in the flesh. I am self-existent. I do not need anything, but give everything. And as God, no one can ultimately harm Jesus. No power can ever defeat him. No one can ever truly kill him. No one can take away his food or his air or his sleep, because as God, he does not need
anything.
See, they thought that they had killed him when they hung him on a cross. And here's the important bit. In his human nature, he really died. But Jesus was not just human. He was also fully God. He was the God-man. And so 3 days later, he rose again, because he's God. And no grave could keep him, and no power could defeat him, and no one could stop him from saving us, from bearing the punishment that we deserved for our sin, for our rebellion against God. The Jewish leaders couldn't. The devil couldn't. Because he does not need, but gives us. So who better to save you? Who better to be your God and your King than the one who does not need, but gives? Will you trust him? Will you trust him? The one who does not need anything, but gives everything, including himself. And not only does God's name mean self-existent, but it also means forever, that he is eternal. See, everything we have gets used up or worn out. Everything we know will die someday. But not God. Remember the match? Where did it go? Here it is. Burnt out, didn't it? God's a bit more like this candle. Just keeps burning. I hope. Just keeps burning. See, he never gets worn out. He's always strong. He's always alive. He's always in charge of the world he made. He's eternal. He lives forever. He's always existed. He will always exist. The God who does not need, but gives us, has always existed. And he'll last forever. Just keeps burning. You can blow it out. You can seek to forget him. But he's still there. You can choose not to believe in him. But he's still there. You can say he's just pretend. But he's still there. Come on. Never buy cheap candles for Acts. He's still there. There we go. He's Yahweh. I am who I am. And just like that burning bush never burnt up, nor does God. He's eternal. He's always there. The one who does not need anything, including us, is always there. And here's the thing. He's revealed his name, his special name, to us. Why? Well, because like us, you tell your name to those who you want to be friends with. You tell your name to those who you want to be in relationship with, don't you? I met someone the other day and they introduced themselves as, "Hi, I'm Mrs. King." It was very formal. She didn't want me to know her first name. She didn't really want a relationship. It was just a business deal. But when someone tells you their first name, their special name, they're saying, "I want to be in relationship with you. I want to be friends with you." And God has told us his special name, Yahweh, because he wants us to be in relationship with him, to seek him, to be his friend. Because the one who does not need
anything,
including us, doesn't need a relationship with us. He's always existed and will always exist. But the one who needs, does not need,
anything,
gives us
everything.
He gives us himself. So is there one better to trust and depend on than the one who does not need anything and is eternal, who just keeps on going? Who will you trust? So this week, as you read your Bibles, and here's the thing, in our English Bibles you see the word Yahweh is translated as Lord, and it's in capital letters. Whenever you see the capital letters of Lord in your Bible, that is God's name, Yahweh. As you read your Bible, you see that name, Yahweh. It's telling you that he is the God who does not need, but gives us everything.